Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all believe God's good? Amen. And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your Spirit that you've poured out upon us. I thank you for the Word that you've implanted in us. For all that you've given us, Lord God, of your Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, this morning that as I share the Word, that it will come alive. Speak its life into our hearts. Thank you, Lord God, that we have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and wills to be obedient to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start with a scripture verse from Hebrews chapter 8. You got the bulletin for today, you've got the verse. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. The mediator of a better covenant. You ever think much about the idea of covenant? Somebody asks you, covenant, what does that mean? Most people would say, well, I'm not sure. We know it means an agreement. We make covenants all the time, except we don't call them covenants. We call them contracts. If you've bought something on payments, you're in a covenant with the people that you got it from. You made a promise to them that you would pay so much ever so often until it's paid for. I can remember when I was young, when we first got married, I went to the bank and borrowed some money. And the banker, I think it was the president. It was. We went in, sit down, talked with the president. No loan officer or nothing like that you had to go through. And he took this little booklet about that long, about that thick. I think at the top of it said promissory note. And he filled in the amount, put my name on there. I signed it. He tore it out of that little thing, and he stuck it down in a little box. Just put it down in that box in alphabetical order. And he gave me my money. And that was all we had to do. If you've borrowed any money lately, you had to do more than sign a little note. But now, let me ask you something. Is what we do now any more valid than what I did when I was young? And you know what the problem is? Humanity. Humanity has gotten to the point where a covenant or contract just don't seem to mean much anymore. Praise God. He said we got all the money for the election. Hallelujah.
Indeed.
Thank you, Jesus. Where was I?
Thank you, Jesus.
A handshake. Shake hands, and that was good as gold. Give me your word. Before I do it, you have to give me your word. There was a time when that meant something. Now it means I'll tell you whatever you want to hear, as long as it'll get me out of my situation. But whether or not I live up to it is another story. But you know, when it comes to covenants, we got to understand that God hasn't changed His mind. And I think one of the reasons why we have so much trouble trusting God's covenant is because we've been conditioned to deal with so many people and so many humans in covenants that we're not sure who you can trust. And we need to get to the point where we come to the realization that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. And that's where the basis of our faith rests. On our ability to trust God. What are you going to have faith in if you can't trust God? In 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. First John 5, 14, 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Is it? Do we have the confidence? Do we have the assurance? This is the trust that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How many times have you prayed, and after you prayed, you really doubted or wondered whether God heard you? But if He didn't hear you, you were praying something stupid. If you were praying according to the will of God, Amen. He heard you.
Amen.
And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, and if we know, not think, hope, but know, if we know that He hears us, and how are we going to know that He hears us? Because if we ask according to His will, He hears us. He said that. Was He telling the truth?
Yes.
And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. No is a strong word. And how many times is it used in that one verse? Confidence that we have in Him. We know this book. We pray according to this book. We're guaranteed. We have a covenant. We have a promise. Covenants are promises. When they cut a blood covenant back in the old days, years and, you know, centuries and millennia ago, and the kings would make covenants with one another. If they attack you, we'll defend you. We'll fight with you. And if you go back and you look, even if the one that they made the covenant with was the one that started the fight, they considered themselves bound to help them. They were in agreement. They made a promise, we'll help you. They couldn't go in and say, well, I'd help you, but you started it. There wasn't any conditions. There wasn't any excuses. There wasn't any loopholes, no red tape. It was a straight out covenant. Yes, this is what we'll do. If you get in a fight, we'll fight with you. Didn't say if you get in a fight that you didn't start. If you get in a fight, we'll fight with you. Isn't this a lot of confidence? This is the confidence. Now, you know what it says in Hebrews 10, 35 to 36? Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Well, the verse we just read says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Now it's warning us, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't give up on it. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what's happening around you, hold on to your confidence that what God told you is the truth. I was listening the other morning to minister on TV, Andrew Womack. And he was talking about trusting God. He was talking about doing the things that God told him to do. And he said, you know, God told me here a while back to start a school, to expand a ministry. And in order to do it, it was going to cost him $50 million. And he made a commitment with God that he was going to pay for it as he went. And then when he got it, he'd be debt free. Now, I'll tell you what, you think about that for a minute, that'll stagger you. You know what you got to have to be able to say that? You got to have a lot of confidence. He went on to say, he said, it cost us $2 million a month just to pay for our TV time, radio time, whatever, you know, the air time, and to pay for the expense of the ministry, to pay the salaries of the people and pay all of their monthly bills. And then he's trusting God and declaring. And he said, you know, I've had some people tell me, you're crazy. If you think you're just, you know, if you're going to wait till you get $50 million before you start, you'll never get it done. He said, I've got 70% of the money already. You know, God is never limited. We are. We're limited in what we can trust Him for. We're limited in how much confidence we have. And so the more confidence that we have, the more we can trust God. The more we can count on His covenant. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Microwave mentality. Get it right now. Don't get it right now. I can't worry about it. I mean, I'm not going to fool with it. Get it now, now, now. And if I don't get it right now, I start wondering where it is. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You may receive the promise. What promise? The one God made, the covenant. And you know what? Now catch this and hold on to it. We look at the Scriptures and we see many promises that God made. And yet, when the scripture is really talking about what God has done, it always uses promise in the singular. That you may receive not the promises of God, but that you may receive the promise. You know what the promise is? You got to go back to Acts chapter 2 to find out what the promise is. Promise is the Holy Spirit. Everything that God does for us, with us, and through us comes as a result of the Holy Spirit upon us and living within us. Everything else is a subcategory. Healing, deliverance, all of these things are subparts of the promise. That by His Spirit, we have everything we need. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitability. That was the Mosaic law. For the law made nothing perfect or complete. No matter how much you dealt with the law, when you were finished, you weren't finished. You weren't complete. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. That's that better covenant that we started out talking about in chapter 8. We draw near to God through that covenant. You never draw near to God by keeping the commandments. All the commandments will do is separate you from God. Because no matter how many you keep, you'll always remember the one you missed. You'll always remember what you didn't get done. You'll never rest on what you did get done. You ever notice that? I mean, when people are works-oriented, or when they're oriented to keeping the do's and the don'ts, they never focus on the do's. They never live feeling like they've accomplished anything. They always live with the picture of what I lack. And as long as you think you lack something, you know what you'll do? You'll lack it. Because you won't feel worthy to have received. But through Jesus Christ and a new covenant, we draw near to God. You know, if you've never spent much time in Hebrews, reading the book of Hebrews, it'd do you good. It'd really do you good to read in there about the covenant, about how, because it kind of explains how everything kind of shifted and grew from the old covenant into the new covenant. In Hebrews chapter 10, as we move right along, all this is related. You can read the whole thing, it's the same subject. Chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that's just what we got through reading, drawing near to God, coming into the holy place. How? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. This is something that you've got to accept, not something that you have to work your way into. It comes by believing. It comes by having faith in God. It comes by trusting the covenant. God said, I've made this covenant. And you know who you made the covenant with? You want to get technical? He didn't make the covenant directly with us. He made it with Jesus. He made the covenant with Jesus because Jesus kept his part just like God kept his part. And then Jesus turned around and said, you want to get in on this, all you got to do is just believe what I've done. You don't have to add anything to it, just accept it. And then there's something happens in us when we really accept it and we begin to change because of the presence. The invasive presence of the Spirit of God comes into us. And we're baptized into Christ. Amen. Let me say something about that. Being baptized into Christ doesn't mean going down dry and coming up wet. I remember a few years ago studying. And you know, even Bible scholars, and as simple as some people make it, even Bible scholars sometimes are at a loss about what is really meant by the word baptism. What are we really talking about? And some light was shed on the subject when somebody in archaeology discovered some notes in one of the archaeological digs. And one of the things that they came up with, they found in the Greek, in the Hellenistic Greek that the New Testament was written in, they found a recipe for making pickles. Now, how in the world could a recipe for making pickles shed any light on Christian baptism? But the word that they were using when they were telling about the transformation of a cucumber into a pickle was the word baptize. Now, how many of you know that there's quite a bit of difference between a raw cucumber and a pickle? I'll bet you there's some of you in here that wouldn't eat a raw cucumber, but you love pickles. Do you know what happened? When that pickle was baptized in that solution, it changed that pickle. I mean, it changed that cucumber into a pickle. What changed it? What it was baptized in. Wasn't the act of baptism. Wasn't the act of sticking that cucumber down in the water and bringing it up. It would have just gone from a dry cucumber to a wet cucumber. But there was something in the solution that the cucumber went into that turned that cucumber into a pickle. That's the way we've got to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the way we've got to see baptism. It's not just getting wet when you're dry. It's not just having a relationship. I'm here, the Holy Spirit's here, I'm still me, the Holy Spirit's still him, and sometimes we can get together. It's understanding that when we submit ourselves, when we jump into the solution, that the solution is going to change us. And we're not going to be the same. We're not going to smell the same. I'm talking about spiritually now. We're not going to smell the same. We're not going to look the same. And we're not going to taste the same.
Some of it will be dill and some of it will be sweet.
Mm. If we wanted to, we could follow that on the personality line. Your type A personalities, and you're aggressive, and you're laid back. But there's a change. Now, wait a minute here. I'm not through. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Think of that as the pickling process. Not just a mechanical act that doesn't change anything, but a process. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Get a hold of that. You want to rediscover the power of faith? Start rediscovering your trust in God. Now, I want to use an example. I want to use an example of kind of confidence that we need to have in God. But I want to put it on a level that you can understand it, that you can relate to it in the natural level. Why are we sitting in here this morning in the light, not in pitch darkness? Why are we sitting in here and we are able to see? It's not 35 degrees in here because we've heated it up. You can hear me because we're elevating the sound through that soundboard back there. And all of this is made possible. All of this is made possible because there is power coming into this building. Now, let's consider that that power is a type of God's grace. Now, what did we do to make that power available to us here this morning? Well, before we did that, or when we did that, when we decided we wanted the power, we went into covenant with Taylor County RECC. We signed a contract with them that they were going to provide us with all the power that we needed to run whatever we wanted to run here. Now, how well does it work? Works as well as we do the wiring for the thing ourselves. We found out here recently that some of the wiring that had been done in previous years wasn't quite done like it should be. Has it worked? Yeah, it's worked. Has it been as effective as it could be? No, evidently not. Is it suitable for everybody? No, it's got to be upgraded. But I'll tell you something else. We've been here since 1982. Been coming down here having church services every week since 1982. And you know, I don't remember one time, not one time, in all of these 31 years that I left the house and all the way down here wondered and worried if the electricity would work when we got here. I just had confidence in the Taylor County RECC that when I go to that church, when I get to that building, when I turn on a switch, the lights are coming on. Now, stormy weather, there are times when you kind of get a little, you know, a little less sure of yourself. So why is it that we can trust the Taylor County RECC with our electricity more than we can trust God with our lives?
Come on.
We don't worry about the electricity, but we worry all the time whether God's going to do what He said He'd do. And I'll tell you something else too. I don't even care whether they like you or not over at Taylor County RECC. They may not like what you're doing with their electricity, but they let you have it anyway. You know, the only way that you can get your power turned off by the Taylor County RECC is to not pay your bill. Man, that's the only way they'll cut. That's the only way that they can do that, because they're in a contract, they're in a covenant with you to provide you with electricity. Now, it may be KU where you live, maybe somebody else, but we just happen to be Taylor County RECC. And you know what? Those times when we have come here, or those times at home, your electricity goes out, and there wasn't something within your house. See, right up to your house, the provider of the electricity is responsible. How many of you ever got called, the phone company or the electric company didn't have any electricity, and they say, well, there's a tree on the line about a quarter of a mile down the road from your house. You better get down there and get it off. When's the last time you had to do anything when it wasn't something that was wrong in your house? They take care of all of it. There's a covenant that we're in with them. They provide everything we need with regard to electric power. And if it's not working, they fix it. Why is it that in the things with God, we feel like that if we don't get out and fix, why can't we trust God like we trust Taylor County RECC? He'll get the thing off the line. First of all, He's not going to let anything get on the line. But it's all God's responsibility. All I have to do for Taylor County RECC to do whatever I need done is just to call and ask. We'll get right over there. It'll be done. Be back on in a few hours. You know, they'll give you some restrictions. But there's a strong correlation here between everything that we do and covenants. Covenants. You got water this morning because you're in a covenant with the water company. You got a phone because you're in a covenant with the phone company. And the phone company and the water company and the electric company, and you got a house, you're in the covenant, and then you got a mortgage on it, you're in a covenant with the bank somewhere. And you feel secure about it. You don't call the bank every few days and say, y'all aren't going to foreclose on my mortgage, are you? I mean, unless you haven't paid your bill. As long as the bill's paid, the covenant lasts. As long as the bill's paid. If it's paid for, it's good. I got news for you.
Come on.
Your covenant's paid for.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 12. But this man, notice man's capital, talking about Jesus. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
We used to sing a song around here years ago, and he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone just to wash my sins away. Once and for all, he paid your lifetime, or let me put it this way, your eternal payment. The blood of Jesus Christ paid for everything that you need. And so you're never going to fail to receive something from God because it hasn't been paid for. But we get in the mentality that we've got to somehow or other pay for it ourselves. When what we need to do is just to trust God that He has made a covenant with us that He will not break under any circumstances, and we do not have to be concerned about making the payments because Jesus already paid for it. It is finished. So what's our responsibility? Live it. Keep our house in order. Another example. No matter how much problem we're having with our internal wiring, Taylor County RECC hadn't slowed down on their supply. And if we got it right in the house, we got all we need. We got to keep our house in order. I'm talking about our lives. You got to control the way you think. You're in charge of that wiring. But you're not in charge of the supply. The covenant doesn't depend on you. The covenant is there. Everything God has supplied is supplied. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, if we use it wrong, we may blow a fuse. If we don't use it, it's our fault. We're sitting in the dark. You know, until you flip a light switch, you sit in the dark all day. And you can confess light. But until you throw the switch, it's not going to happen. But we should have as much confidence in our faith as we have in that light switch back there. Oh, I wonder if it'll work this time. The only time you have to do that is if you got one that's giving you a problem, like what we used to have in the red room there. We had one switch in the red room, and sometimes it'd come on and sometimes it wouldn't. And then somebody fixed it, and they hooked it up upside down. So now when the flip's up, it's off, and when you push it down, it's on. But it's working again. Now, I don't know who did it. I appreciate you doing it, even if you did put it on upside down. It's working. I mean, you know, if we'd been used to it being the other way, we wouldn't thought anything about it. You know, it could have been, you know, if you turn it down, it comes on. You can put them on that way. But we just go on. You turn on your water faucet at home. You ever get ready to run, take a shower and say, I hope there's water. Oh, God, let there be water. No, you just go turn it on expecting the water. Well, won't you believe God and then just expect it to happen?
Amen.
Not just, oh, God, pray 15 minutes before you turn on the faucet. Do that. I'm going to take a shower and I'm going to pray and fast to make sure that water comes out. And I'm not taking anything away from that kind of thing. There are times when you need to pray. There are times when you need to fast. There are times when you need to be before God. But it shouldn't be every time we expect something. We should expect it. We should have confidence. Confidence. That what He said He'd do, He'd do. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You wanted it at 9:57. He wasn't deciding to give it to you at 9:57. He's going to give it to you at 11:42. But He's going to supply your need. And there's a reason why He gives it to you at 11:42 instead of 9:57. You might not know what it is. There's a reason. Mary and Martha didn't understand why Jesus was 4 days late. Lord, if you got here when He was alive, it'd be all right, but He'd been dead 4 days. Basically, Jesus said to them, what difference does that make? I'm here. Where is He? What do you mean, where is He? You know what happens to somebody after 4 days of being dead? You want us to go down there and open that tomb? Lord, do you know what kind of smell that's going to be? When it was all over, what was wrong with Lazarus? When Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth, and they took the grave clothes off of him, what was wrong with him? Hey, I don't care how bad it looks. And I'll go back and say what I said earlier. And I'm going to emphasize it with a word we're not supposed to use. You ain't broke bad enough that Jesus can't fix you. And nothing in your life is beyond hope. We just have to believe. We just have to have confidence. Confidence in the covenant and in the covenant maker. And I broke the covenant. Oh, get over it. I'm serious. You do something, you mess up. That's all you can do is get over it. Now Now you can't treat it like it don't matter. But you can't treat it like a wound in the heart either. You lose your temper and say something to somebody that you shouldn't say it. Got to be dealt with. But you got to get over it. And the only way we get over things like that is through the blood of Jesus. And you know, you got to realize that God wants you to get over it. He doesn't want you to be stuck in anything. He doesn't want any situation in your life to bog you down. And I don't know why it is that so many good Christians get bogged down in sin. In sin that has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. But they can't forgive themselves. And they can't get over it. And our only hope is to accept the promise of God and get over it. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. Just wait in the presence of God. Just meditate on your confidence. And I want to encourage you. If you look at yourself and you question your faith, you question your confidence in God, and as a result of that, you start beating up on yourself. Don't do that. That's not what God wants. God wants you just to make a determination that I'm going to believe. I'm going to have confidence. God's going to come through for me because I know He will. All the things that are according to His will is going to happen in my life because I know that He hears me when I pray. Set you a new course of confidence. All the power you ever need, God's provided. And it's paid for. All you have to do is hook it up. You do that with your faith. Keep your switch of faith turned on. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you loved us enough to make a covenant with us. You forgave us of all of our sins. You took care of all of our weaknesses. You've made us whole through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I just thank you for blessing your people as they leave. Go with them through this week. Keep, Lord God, their spirits high. Prompt them, Holy Spirit, when we may tend to slack off a little. But I thank you for helping us in everything. We are a blessed people because of what you've done for us. We're not going to forget the promise. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. No, a couple of things. Don't forget to sign up for the Valentine's dinner if you haven't done that yet. And leadership's be meeting here in a little bit. Hello, Mary. Let me turn his mic off. I guess he's done it.
Well, I like those boots.